Now that it's 12:33, I've been looking forward to this all week because it's the first time that I think you've been on air at Vectis Radio since you've become leader of the council. Welcome, Jonathan Bacon.
Thank you very much. You made a few changes around here. The nice chaise longue and the potted palms. It's all looking very tropical in here.
It's very good, isn't it? So how's it been?
Well, 2 weeks into the job and things are settling in. It's still early days, but I'd like to think things are going okay so far.
Were you shocked when you... Because I kind of... I don't want to say too much, but I know there was a lot of people out there that were... Well, hang on a minute. We had Ian was there, and then all of a sudden he's not, and then Steve Stubbins didn't, and then all of us... Right, okay. So what was it all a bit of a blur?
It was a bit of a blur on the evening, yes, but obviously I knew a little more than some other people about things that were going through Ian's mind, and obviously we now know that he's actually standing as MP. So, as I say, I had a little more clue than some people, but things did happen fairly quickly, but yeah.
What I've read into that night is that you got 26 votes, so that would have meant that some of the Tories would have voted for you as well.
Yes, they did. Plus the fact we had about eight people absent that night as well, so it was quite a healthy vote, which I was very pleased about. And
yeah.
It was across the chamber, and I hope that will indicate that. I know Ian used to talk about this a lot, but it's something I really want to take forward with cross-chamber, cross-group working with all the members, as I said, when I put a letter in the county press this week, which was actually essentially what I said in the chamber on the night in question. The way to go forward is together, because if everyone's fighting against each other, you don't achieve anything. No stability means nothing can be done. So if we are now... solidifying what I think Ian was working on in bringing people together a bit more, with actually focusing on the island and the residents as the main thing, that can only be to the good.
I think in a way it's something that the Isle of Wight has been crying out for a number of years, and I think Ian was there for just over a year and he's kind of laid some foundations there.
Yeah.
and obviously, you know, let's hope that we can move on as a group of people for the better, because I think definitely we need it, because we've got to roll the sleeves up and get stuck into, you know, what needs to be done, and there's an awful lot of stuff that needs to be done, isn't there?
There is, yeah. There's a lot to be done. There's a question of how much we can actually do, particularly with the financial situation in. So to some extent, perhaps the better way to talk about it is that there's a lot to cope with. But again, you're only going to do that. You're only going to cope with a difficult situation if you all muck in together, as you say, sleeves up and get your hands dirty.
Yeah, I think that's about right too. Just, you know, what I want to do is use these times. I'm hoping you're going to come in on a regular basis, because people...
I will certainly attempt to, as much as my diary allows.
So you're so much busier than you used to be. So do you get your own parking space now at the Riverside?
That is the one thing you get. Because a lot of people have said to me, oh, all these things you're going to get now, all these things, all these benefits you're going to get. But I have to declare I get a parking space.
Right, okay. Well, good for you. And quite right, too. I mean, let's be honest, if you're the leader, you need to...
One thing I do.
Yeah, no, good. There's lots of things that people have asked me to ask you via Facebook messages. And I'm hoping that this time on a regular basis, you can come in and sort of, put to bed the rumours that people are talking about. Because that's the daft thing. I had a heated conversation with my wife yesterday, and I said...
That's a very rare thing for you, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it's not. I just feel sometimes, and this is my biggest beef, and it always have been at the council, is that maybe it's... You've got a PA, a PR team, that have to be, and I know the reasons why, they have to be guarded a little bit. And I think maybe if they weren't quite so guarded and have the ability to give people information, there wouldn't be so many people wanting FOIs and wasting people's times. And if we were a little bit more communicative, i.e. you're coming in and answering questions... The amount of people, and I looked this up, the amount of people that ask for FOIs and wasting people's time on the most ridiculous questions.
Do you know what's happened, though, I think, is that a culture has developed because of an attitude that we had in the past. I think within the we have a very small communications team. I mean, years ago, I can remember, I used to have a go about it. You're spending £1 million on communication. You've got a whole office full of these people. That's all gone. Mm. We do have three people there because the council has to get information out into the public about what we're doing when there are emergency situations. And it's quite a big job to, you know, get the information, chase it up, check it's accurate, put it into a form that people can understand, get it out not just in a press statement but on social media and so on. So there is a function to do there. But yeah, we do have a very high number of FOIs, Freedom of Information Act requests. But as I say, I think our history has led to that. And there's a culture of people thinking that they have to go via such official means to get information out of the council. And I'd like to think in actuality, if they come to their ward councillor or councillor, we'll respond to their query. If it's something technical, we can't do it directly, we'd go to an officer and get the information. But that's certainly the way I work.
And that's refreshing to hear. And then hopefully it might rub off on people. And you know, so they're not on the phone constantly, oh, I'm asking about this. And it's great that you've come in today, because we're going to ask a few questions about... Let's deal with the one that's been asked most of all. And again, I look at this and I think, well, we've had this one before, and I'm pretty sure you can dispel the rumour. Can you ask if we... You know, we are a holiday island, so... how on earth will closing toilets help us? Are you closing toilets?
No. What we're doing is running a consultation. I think it's been a bit slow to get underway on the technical side, but there's a consultation, that dreaded word, that word people hate, but it's, I can't think of a better one, on so-called community toilets. Both myself and the deputy leader have said very openly in public meetings in the council that what we're not going to do is diminish the number of toilets. We are hopefully, because they are things that cost a lot, going to find different ways in which those toilets can be provided through businesses and so on. If you think, say, in Newport, we've got some public toilets, but the number of businesses you've got around who could provide and almost in effect do by being shops, provide a toilet facility for the public, means that we could then cease that provision of a public toilet in Newport, but we're not actually losing the number of traps, whatever you want to call it, that
right.
We have.
You're wrong.
Because that's the other word. Yeah, I was trying to think of
a
polite one
for those people living on East Cowes. You know, they're urinals.
But the cost of providing a traditional public toilet is quite high. A lot of that comes down to the way they're treated, the risk of vandalism. They're also, it's no point denying it, havens for occasionally activity you don't want to encourage. And that sort of thing can go if you have a toilet in something, a place that's more public, a place that's looked after, able to be looked after more. But, sorry, I'm going slightly off the mark. What we're doing is seeking to rationalise our toilet provision by... in terms of how it's provided, but not in terms of the quantity. And indeed, what I would hope, and Steve Stubbings as well, again, we both said this, is that through this process we might actually increase the number.
Right.
Because they are an important facility. They're a very important facility for a tourist island.
So, you know, those people that are saying, oh, you're going to close the toilets, that's hideous, it's not happening.
That is not the plan.
That's the horse's mouth there. It's not happening. That's not the plan. Is it, just say for instance, if it did happen, I mean, you know, is that something that's, it could happen but beyond your control, but it's not the plan?
Well, it is under our control in terms of whether we shut
right.
the ones that are in public ownership, but you know, unless the government takes away another 60 million from us, you know, we know the pressures we're under for the next few years. I can't see way into the future, and I'd be daft if I said for the next 30 years there will be exactly the same number of toilets. But the immediate plan, and certainly under my watch, is the number will remain, or fingers crossed, increase.
Okay. You mentioned there under your watch. I mean, I said to you off air, I said you got the you've got the capabilities of being probably the one, the most popular council leader that we've had in like many, many years. It's not any disrespect to Ian, because he's done a job, and I think he had to lay the foundations and maybe rub a few people up the wrong way by doing it. But I can't remember too many council leaders in the past that I've actually looked at and thought, hang on a minute, you're quite popular, but you've got the right personality, you're making all the right noises at the moment. And I'm
you're
just
making
thinking,
me blush now, stop it.
Sorry. Anyway,
it's not about being popular, it's about doing the job properly. I think we've had council leaders in the past, we've had a range of council leaders, we've had a council leaders who have done a lot of good work, and maybe that hasn't been appreciated. I think that's actually one thing with Ian. And he, as you say, you use the phrase lay the foundations. I think a lot of the things he's done, particularly in terms of building bridges with small businesses, Chamber of Commerce, bodies on the mainland who can provide funding for economic development, it's a lot of unseen work, but it's very valuable work that will
definitely
feed in hopefully to perhaps the more visible things we're hoping to do over the next few years.
I think Ian had a difficult task of following the regime that was in place.
I think he was the only person who could have taken it on at that point.
And I think he had to flex his muscles and show some great character and some strength. Okay, next question from Sylvia. Are the lollipop ladies being sacked?
No.
I'm not flaring up any of these questions. I'm just going to ask them as they are asking them. No.
Yeah. School crossing patrols is one of those issues. It's an important service and it's a necessary service. It is something that we wish to retain, but again, it's how you provide it. The conversation going on with schools at the moment is for them to provide it. You know, the funding that schools get goes directly to schools. It used to be the case it came to the council and then the council could work out how to spend it. A lot of control over what the schools have and how they use it has gone from us directly. But again, we're not cutting the school patrols. We're asking for initially the schools to provide them and take on that service, and again, possibly as with toilets, they're better placed to know how to do it to the best for the children. If schools for whatever reason have difficulty doing that, we can possibly look to sponsorship, volunteer services and so on. But underpinning all that is that if anyone is not coming forward for a crossing, we will retain it for this year.
Okay, so what is...
What we have done with that and a couple other things is to build into the forthcoming budget a contingency, so that if we do find that with some of these proposals for transferring, remodelling services don't work straight away, need more work, we've got a backup plan, and that will mean that the crossings will not go.
Okay, so what's the worst case scenario then?
For what? Sorry,
just say for instance. I mean, we're not sacking these lollipop ladies, but what is the worst case scenario if just say for instance, people are bringing this up?
There will still be crossing patrols.
There will be, but will they be? What's the term? Volunteers.
That is possible. If that is the best way to provide that service. As I say, initially, the discussion we're having is that the schools will take them on as a paid service from the school budget.
And if they're not, because if they're not,
then, as I say, we've built in the contingency. We then look a little more widely to say, are there businesses who would like to actually dip their hands in their pocket and help the community and provide that service? If volunteers want to take it on, there may be some who feel that they would like to provide that service. I know it's a bit of a bugbear that we ask for volunteers, and it's not our starting position on an important service like this from this administration, but we go through all those options to see there's going to be that service provided. The question is not whether it's provided, it's how.
Okay, I don't know whether... I think she's being sexist anyway, Sylvia. Sorry, Sylvia. Our lollipop ladies, because there are lollipop men as well.
Absolutely.
And so just one more final question on that. If they are to become volunteers, will they be insured by and paid for by the council, or will they have to insure themselves? Because just say, for instance, if they were a volunteer and they let somebody go across the road and they slip and hurt themselves or whatever and they become... they get themselves into trouble. Are they going to be covered? I
believe so. That's a very technical question, and I wouldn't like to give an absolute answer as I mean, it's a service that's got to be insured. Where that comes from, it might be the schools take on the insurance and someone volunteers under that insurance, but it's got to be part of the mix. I was going to say what the council will provide, which leads me to think that it may be us that takes it on, is that we'll still be providing road safety information, training and so on through the schools. That's something we keep on.
Okay.
But it what you're saying, it's got to be there. I can't, from the top of my head, say exactly how it will be affected, but it must be, and it will probably depend with each patrol who is taking the responsibility for that.
Okay, I mean, that will come to light at some point, but like you keep saying, it's a good point to make, it's not your starting point. That's not where you want to be. What you want, basically, the ideal situation is the schools take it on and they pay for it.
Yeah. I think if you look more generally at things, we've had a mindset in the past that has simply been saying, cut it, stop it. If someone wants to take it on, great, but we're going to cut it. That's not us. What we're saying is these services need to carry on. The best way, sometimes the only way, to make them carry on is for them to be provided differently, provided by other people because of the financial pressures. But we're not going to say cut it and just leave it to flounder and hopefully swim back to shore. But we're going to give it the life jacket, give it the support, and say, again, possibly through the contingency if that is necessary, and say, right, how can we ensure that this service is provided by someone in the future? So it's a different mindset, perhaps.
Okay. John Giddings has just been in touch.
Oh.
And John says, we need to improve the island to attract more visitors. Sandown Seafront is shocking. Is there a plan for Sandown?
Sandown, big things are happening in Sandown. If you look to, this was my brief 18 months ago. It's about 8 months ago, wasn't it? We now have White City being improved. We have a new plan for the Grand Hotel. We have a new plan for the Savoy. We have in discussions over other parts of Sandown Seafront with organisations who are wishing to take them on and provide further attractions. Sandown has been a bugbear for a long, long time, and I very much saw that when I held the planning brief. But I'd like to think I started a ball rolling there, that Councillor Fuller, who's now looking after planning, is he's really getting that ball to build up speed.
Good.
And lots of things are changing. I think if you spoke to the ward councillors there, Ian Ward in particular, who has long been a big champion of Sandown, current chairman of the council, he would acknowledge that things are moving there. But it's not just Sandown. There are other places on the island where I think Sandown's the one that really attracts attention because it's so well known. It's that got that iconic status.
It was the jewel in the crown years ago, Sandown.
Absolutely.
It really was.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, it was the place to go to in the summertime.
Absolutely. And when your jewel in the crown is faded, then it has an effect across the rest of the island. But it's something we're very conscious of. Tourism is absolutely crucial here. So if we're not doing anything to brighten the place up, bring people here, we're not doing the job. We're not helping the island.
So there is a plan for Sandown, and it's ongoing. How long?
He didn't say who the Saturday night headliner is, did he?
Not yet. No. Should we message him back? How long do you think it will be before we see a return? You know, Sandown. Yeah, there being a difference. You know, we go there and think.
I'd like to think the difference is starting now. How long it will take? How good can we make it? I don't think we should have a cut-off point, say we'll achieve something in the next 2 years, then leave it and move on somewhere else. If we can keep on improving,
yeah.
I think that's the mindset we should have.
Okay, because we're only doing half an hour, we've only got like 5, 6, 7 minutes left, and I've got one or two questions. This is probably a question you get asked a lot. Why are the roads not being repaired as quickly as they should be? Potholes that should have been repaired before Christmas are still there. I mean, this guy's going on and he's got so many good points to make. So what's happening at the island? You must have noticed this. The island's roads are just dire. And yes, there have been some roads that have been repaired and so on, but it doesn't seem to be very quick. I drive down or rode down on the bike through the High Street, Newport High Street. There are holes in the ground. It's blimmin' dreadful. So what's the hot news on that? And also, is it true, because it was made, we were told last week that Island Roads are currently doing certain roads that aren't seriously bad, because the chances of them having to do them again in 25 years are pretty remote. They're doing those roads first, and they're going to do all the rotten roads last, so they don't end up doing them before they lose the contract after 25 years. So, over to you.
Right, just what do you say? We've got 5 minutes to deal with that one.
Yeah, you've got a minute to answer that one.
The council a few years ago under the last administration entered this contract with Island Roads. I was one of the two councillors in the chamber at that time who didn't like the look of it, was suspicious about it. The other one was Ian Stevens. And I think we were right, frankly, because the more one looks at it and how it's being operated at the moment, we've got problems with that contract. That is why we now have an executive member, Councillor Phil Jordan, who's pretty much his full-time job is digging into that contract and trying to sort it out. I'm being a little cautious because we're hopefully going to be making a statement very soon in the next 48 hours the reorganisation of how we get to grips with that contract, because it's not been done. And I'm being a little cautious because, as I say, there's a meeting going on this afternoon, which I hope will lead to something being said soon.
We'll wait for that. It's
top two on my list at the moment are the budget, sorting that out, and sorting out Island Roads and the state of the roads. And that means sorting out the contract, how we manage the contract. We had a situation where pretty much wholesale the entirety of the highways department went over to Island Roads and left us with pretty much nothing at the council, and that meant also not just no highways function but no way proper way of controlling the highways function and the performance of another body, and that's not a good place to be in.
Sure.
So that is what we're looking at. As I say, I'm being a little cagey, I know that's not what people want to hear,
but I mean, to be honest,
I hope we'll be saying something very publicly very soon about how we're addressing that, because once you've sorted out the management of it, then we can really start to address all these little difficulties.
Okay, so
and as a ward councillor, I'm very conscious of the potholes and so on.
I don't want to put you on the spot, but something is
afoot. Yes, you do. That's the whole point. I'm coming in.
Well, yeah, okay. let's fire another one at you then. Roger Sanders says, I don't think Islanders have much faith in councillors anymore. They seem more interested in petty political squabbles than addressing the island's problems. The town centres are dying, but a new Asda store will be built on council land whilst parking charges are being increased. Can anyone tell me how this makes any sense? I know a man that can.
There's quite a lot there. His first point about trusting councillors, he's absolutely right. Given some of the things that have happened recently, why on earth would anyone trust us? Given the shouting matches sometimes you see in public meetings, what impression does that give? An appalling impression. I think I quite publicly said I want to see an end to playground behaviour. It's watching this programme on last night, I saw a bit of the programme about Palace of Westminster, and they were just revelling in the fact that, we know when to stand up and shout and when to barrack someone. Could you actually get on with the job and represent the people and put forward their problems?
Jonathan, that's all we want. And that is all we want. We want we want you guys to get round a table, and if you've got to make your points in a way, but make them in a grown up way, and then we shake hands afterwards. I don't care what party you're in. I don't care the colours. I'm not interested. We just want the best for the island. And
it's a business. It's got to be regarded now as a business. And we've got certain things we've got to do, particularly looking after children, looking after vulnerable adults. And the way to do that, I'm sure in big business organisations, they don't sit there in the boardroom going, shame and all this sort of thing. They actually get on and discuss the business and make decisions.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. Now, I've gone off one about that, but the gentleman asked a couple of other questions. Just remind me what...
Oh, about that Asda. Let's nip this one in the bud then, because I spoke to you a little while ago and I said to you off air, I look around Newport and I think there's a great big building across the way there, and it's just sitting there and it's going to rack and ruin. Wouldn't it be great if someone like the council had the strength and the ability to say, right, we're going to take this on and we're going to turn it into something that the youth can use? And you said to me, that's communism, that is. You can't do that.
Did I say that?
Yeah, you did. You actually said That's communism. And
we do have powers, limited powers that can be used in extremis to take on buildings, compulsory purchase, essentially. It's an extremely expensive way of going about things.
That's what I wanted you to say. Yeah. It's the reasons why. We're all thinking it. Well, that's the reason why.
And you can offer some assistance to a business to come forward and say, look, that needs dealing with, that building, we can offer you routes to grant funding, funding options, support to enable that to be regenerated, that's what we can do. If it that doesn't work, then yes, for something that is seriously damaging an area, damaging a neighbourhood, then we do have powers. Some of that has been used in Sandown, and elsewhere. A lot of it comes down to money.
Okay.
A lot of it does come down to money. And as I think people are aware now, we have had so much money stripped out of the system in the last few years, and that's continuing on, that it really does affect how we can use those powers we have.
We've run out of time, so it's not just about money, it's about time as well. I want to say thank you for your time, obviously.
I'm sorry I couldn't come in sooner. I came straight out of a meeting here.
It's fine. I mean, I think what would be great to do if we could come in and sort of have, the bacon surgery, maybe once a month would be really, really good. Because I think it's just putting these rumours to bed. One final question, if you could answer quickly. Would you ask him if he intends to reverse the decision on the fire service, losing the chief fire officer to Hampshire, and also what has the council done with all the money that they have saved from not paying the fire service and ambulance personnel when they were on strike? It must be thousands. Donate it to charity, he says.
As far as the fire service is concerned, that is a decision that has been made. Again, it's largely financially driven, but we've only made that decision because we are absolutely assured that there will be no change to the service.
Okay.
It is actually the way to maintain the service. If we didn't make that decision, I think with the resources we've got purely here on the island, we would find that we'd be at a risk of a reduced service. This is actually about maintaining a very important service for the island.
Okay, we've run out of time, but thank you for your time.
Thank you for
yours. You will come back again.
We'll
regular basis.
Make a date.
I'll even make you coffee next time.
All right, that's a first.
Now now you're the leader. I've got we can't stretch to a parking space, but you can have your own mug. All right,
the leader's mug. Yeah.
Thank you, Jonathan, and enjoy the rest of your busy day.
Thank you very much.